Tonight we'll continue on with the second article of the Apostles' Creed, where we confess those words: He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. But it's important to realize that every time we confess the creed, we're doing two things simultaneously. On the one hand, we are rejecting the thoughts and the processes of the world in which we live in, especially the idea of being intellectualism, that whole idea that man can somehow solve all of his own problems on his own if he just thinks about it long enough. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, then, we confess we know we have a creator God who is more than able, willing, and ready to solve the problems that we face within the world, namely the forgiveness of sins. But tonight, as we look at those words that you've heard so often, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, I want you to consider for a moment that Jesus Christ endured all this before he ever got to the cross. Think of the suffering under Pontius Pilate. Think of the abuse he endured at the hands of Pilate. Scripture will tell you that they ripped the beard from his face. They spit upon him. They mocked him. They hurled insults at him. They scourged him, which means that they literally ripped his flesh from his back as they applied the scourge to him. They did literally everything to shame Jesus, including stripping him naked. And then Pilate, when he wearied of him, sent him over to Herod. When he found out that he was from the area from Galilee in Nazareth, and why he was there, Herod, once he figured out who he was, longed for Jesus to do some kind of a magic trick, a miracle. And when Jesus would not comply, Herod had him beaten and sent back to Pilate. The funny thing is, this isn't even the crucifixion yet. These are the beatings that took place before Jesus Christ was required to pick up his cross and drag it to the place of crucifixion. And after all this beating, he was unable to make it. In fact, they conscripted a guy by the name of Simon from Cyrene and had him pick up the cross of Jesus and carry it the rest of the way. Now, you know what happens at Golgotha. They stretch him out on the cross and they drive the spikes through his wrists and through his feet and adhered him to the cross and put it into place. And while he hung upon the cross, the only way Jesus could get air was to force his weight onto his feet that were nailed to the cross and arch his back upward in order to suck in oxygen and then slump back down again. So in the process, he is going up the cross and down the cross, and that cross beam, the back of the cross served as a grating block against his back that was already torn to ribbons because of his scourging. Ultimately, those who are crucified die of asphyxiation. Their lungs begin to fill up with fluid, and they're deprived of oxygen. The one thing about the Romans, they had literally dialed in the most horrific and excruciating way to kill someone that has ever been devised. It would take hours to die, even days if necessary. Now, how is it that we as Christians can look at the cross and say, isn't that beautiful? It seems almost morbid, doesn't it? Or to have a necklace around our neck with a cross or a crucifix on it like I have, it's kind of morbid. It's kind of like having an electric chair on your what do they call those things, the Pandora bracelet. It's like, what is that? Oh, it's an electric chair. Oh, there it is. Kind of weird, isn't it? It seems like in some ways it's like the church somehow glorifies the suffering, death, and burial of Jesus Christ. But why? Because without the suffering, death, crucifixion, and you have to switch them around, crucifixion and death and burial of Jesus, there is no redemption for us. In fact, Scripture tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The truth is that all of us know that within sight of us, there's something desperately wrong. Every one of us knows that there's a yearning or desire for something more that we just can't quite satisfy. Now, it usually reveals itself in different ways within our everyday lives. You could have a problem with anger. You could have a problem with disobedience with your parents. You could have problems with relationships, within marriage, and all those different things. But those aren't really the problem. They're only the symptom of the problem. The deeper problem lies within, and that's the problem that each of us have with sin. Our ultimate issue for you and for me is that God created us to be in communion with Him and in fellowship with one another. But guess what happens when the fall occurred, ladies? What happened when the fall occurred? That relationship with God was severed. Remember, Adam and Eve went and hid in the garden for fear that God would see them naked? Remember how Adam kind of threw Eve under the bus when God asked him, "Who gave you the fruit of the tree to eat?" Our relationship not only with God, but also with one another has been shattered. And so therefore we live each and every day hungering and thirsting for something, and it just never seems to satisfy. In fact, in Isaiah, his refrain is, "How long will you eat bread that does not satisfy, and how long will you drink water that does not quench your thirst?" Because of the fall, there is a longing within each and every one of us that we simply cannot satisfy. Oh, we try. There are times when we continue to punt the ball down the field, hoping that the next big thing that comes along will somehow soothe our issues and solve all of our problems, but it never really seems to come to reality. So if you struggle with anger, or you struggle with relationships, or whatever issue you're struggling with today, remember it's really grounded in the greater need you have, in that need for forgiveness. So you are hungry, and you try to eat, but it doesn't satisfy. You are thirsty, and you seek to drink, but it never quenches your thirst. And Jesus Christ died upon the cross to satisfy that hunger and that thirst for righteousness. He has reconciled you. In a lot of respects, He has taken you and I all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where it all started, in that relationship with God. So it is within the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that you and I witness firsthand God literally reconciling His enemies, i.e. you and me, with Himself. The Bible is clear that no one is righteous, no, not even one. And if you think you are okay, you're not really talking to me, Pastor, because I don't have the problems you're talking about, then you're probably comparing yourself to somebody else that you think you're better than. But the reality is, without the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, we are all doomed for hell. Therefore, we are bold to confess those words, that I do believe that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. I do believe that He was crucified, that He died on a Roman cross, and that He was buried. And I also believe that He did it for your forgiveness and for mine. Amen? Amen.